So I want to talk a little bit about how many ICE arrests and deportations have been made, because as we know, the Trump administration has big plans and often lies. So trying to get the facts is one element. Now, in 2013, under Obama, who was the deporter in charge here, there were about 36,000 deportations a month. So far in 2025, under Trump's second term, there's about 14,700. Now, while the Trump administration has claimed that by the beginning of May, 140,000 had been deported, experts are saying probably that figure is half that. Now, Tricia McLaughlin, the spokesman for the Department of Homeland Security, claimed at a press conference that ICE had deported 253,000, but that seems really unlikely. It's true that the figures of arrests and deportations are rising, and I want to give you May and June's figures. So in May, they say that 24,000 people were picked up and 15,000 deported. In June, 30,000 were arrested and 18,000 were deported. So there's two big differences between, and now I'm not talking about numbers, but quality in how the deportations are organized. Under Obama, the deportations were primarily at the border, not exclusively, and there were some mass arrests, but in general, they were at the border. While under Trump, the border is virtually sealed, so those being deported are those who are living and working here. And secondly, as you probably have noticed from the figures, far more people are being arrested who are not yet deported. So basically, ICE has 100 detention centers around the country, and they have 41,500 beds. And currently, there are 60,000 people detained, with probably many more stuffed in local jails. So Trump's new budget provides $45 billion for enlarging the detention facilities to at least having 100,000 beds, such as the one that was just opened by the GEO Group in Michigan, in Baldwin, with 1,800 beds, or the Alligator Alcatraz. And I want to mention to you that the Alligator Alcatraz, the cost of opening and staffing that for a year will be $450 million. So one of the things that's really important to understand is how much money is going to prisons and virtually prisons, as well as deporting people. So, of course, people are already reporting that in many of these facilities, there's no basic hygiene. People aren't able to take a shower. There's no medical care. Food is sparse. There's very little access to bedding and laundry. Even the operating Guantanamo, I mean, sometimes you want to laugh at these things, but they're not funny because people have to live in them. But they've put about 400 people on and off in Guantanamo. These are the so-called criminals from Venezuela and El Salvador. For 6 weeks to staff and take care of that facility, that cost $40 million and had a staff of 1,000. So it's very expensive to arrest and deport people who are living and working in this country and who have mixed status families and communities and workplaces where people will support them and fight for them. It's harder for even Trump to say that these people are terrorists and rapists. I mean, they do, but we know these people. So it's a much harder thing for them to sell. And by the way, it currently costs an average of over $17,000 to deport one person. And it requires great coordination by ICE. So the Trump team's plan has paused all asylum applications in violation of all human rights protocols that we have signed, including the UN Declaration of Human Rights. And even refugees in refugee camps that have already been vetted, those have all been canceled. There's like 22,000 people who've been vetted and ready to come, but Trump will have nothing to do with them. So, what's most important for us, I think, in this discussion is not so much all these other things, as horrible as they are, but really how it affects our neighbors and coworkers. So here are some of the policies that have been put in place by the administration. Places that used to be considered safe, such as schools, hospitals, religious institutions, are no longer safe. The attorney general actually says ICE no longer needs a judicial warrant, although I think that in this and in many other cases, we should just pretend that doesn't exist and demand a judicial warrant if somebody shows up. Data that used to be kept separate from immigration files, such as the tax forms or Social Security, may be used to locate people. The threat to require all immigrants 14 and over to register if they've been here for more than 30 days is hanging in the air. They, of course, have reassigned all kinds of government agents to help ICE, like the Tobacco and Firearms Administration, and the armed forces are supposed to be helping ICE. And they've already signed 579 contracts with local police to share information, which is really very important for ICE. And of course, there's the use of the Alien Enemies Act to criminalize a person and to deny their rights to due process. That is, what Trump wants to do is to avoid the courts completely. No due process. Just arrest a person and get them deported. And of course, he's now canceled temporary protective status. Now, that's used for those people who come from countries where there's a war or civil war or just tremendous environmental devastation. So, of the 16 countries that people from those countries have been able to use that protective status to live and work here, Trump has already canceled status for Afghanis, Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, Venezuelans. So that has made essentially 530,000 people who were here legally illegal. And then, of course, there's the attack on birthright citizenship. And I guess you could also throw into that batch the criminalization of US citizens who might possibly get deported to El Salvador if Trump had his way. So ICE prefers to have people come to them rather than they go to people. So they don't so much go to people's homes, although that happens occasionally, as like to get people who come to them. Like, for example, if you have an appointment at an office, an immigration office, you come in and then they take you from there. Or if you have an asylum case and it gets dismissed, immediately they grab you. And the other place that they arrest a lot of people is in your cars. You're driving along, you get lost, something happens, and you get stopped and checked. Here in Detroit, I live 5 minutes from the Ambassador Bridge. Many people have taken the wrong road to the bridge, which leads to Canada, and that's the way they get arrested and deported. So another place is port of entry. Several people on the West Coast coming back from places like the Philippines, and these are people who had green cards, were picked up at the airport and are sitting in the Tacoma ICE Detention Center. So when I looked at all of these cases, you'll notice that it's not so much that ICE is going out, but just picking the easy people. And of course, at the other end of the scale, we have LA, which probably in the first week alone cost the federal government $140 million. So I haven't seen the actual figures of the number who have been picked up. First, I saw 44 had been arrested. Then I saw 300 had been arrested. But actually, far more people were arrested for defending them than either of those figures. So I think when you look at something like LA, you really see the reason that Trump loved that is because it made people afraid. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to have fear and trembling, not only within the immigrant community, so it self-deports, but also for us, so that we don't want to defend them because we're risking arrest ourselves. So I wanted to just mention a few places that I think that we need to be thinking about when we're defending immigrants. Anybody who goes to the courts to help people who are going through an asylum hearing. It's not a very exciting experience because ICE grabs people so quickly. But I think mutual aid is obviously one important area where we can make sure that people don't have to use their cars, that they can ride with us, whether it's to work, to the grocery store, whether it's seeing that their children get to school or get to play games after school. So that kind of mutual aid is really important. Another area is our workplace. And here, whether we're a unionized worker or not, talking about the case of immigrants is really important at our workplace to prepare people to understand why it is that we should defend our coworkers and to work out a plan, a strategy. And this can be done whether you're unionized or not, whether your boss is friendly to the concept or not. The National Immigrant Rights Organization has a very nice brochure that you can take and read over if you're in a situation where you can do this at your workplace. It's really excellent in helping people to understand politically why it's necessary to do. So, in conclusion, what's really important to understand is that although we cannot stop every single person from being deported, what we can do is create an environment in which deportations are not a good thing. I think that a lot of people think that, well, everybody should wait their turn, stand in line, and everybody will eventually get to the United States. You know, it may take you 10 years, but you can get here. And they don't understand how the system is designed to be broken. With so many deportation cases, did Trump have more judges to hear more asylum cases? No, he wants to hire 10,000 more ICE agents, but he, if anything, would like to cut the judges because he doesn't think that everybody deserves due process. So demanding due process is absolutely important. And to understand that the real drive of the Trump administration is to force people to self-deport. They already have a $3 million ad campaign. They want people to go home. The second thing is they want very much to find what they call third countries, because many countries can't take or don't want to take people back. And so forcing them to accept people is really important. And that's why you saw Trump saying, we're going to put a lien on 70 countries. We're not going to allow them to have visas to the US. Why is that? Well, that's so that he can negotiate with them. They could be third countries. And like South Sudan, whether they are practically totally down on their luck, South Sudan is really on the verge of civil war. Whether that or not, they've sent already eight people to South Sudan, only one of whom has any relationship to that country. Some of them are from Cuba or Mexico. So those are, I think, are the two most important things that Trump wants to do is to get people to self-deport and to open up third countries, countries like Guatemala, Panama, Nicaragua, to accept some of the folks that he wants to deport. So all of this is about a big fight, and it's a big task, but I think already we're very much involved in working it through.
Some of us are illegal. Some are unwanted. Work contracts out and we have to move on. It's 600 miles to the Mexico border. They chase us like outlaws, like rustlers, like thieves. Goodbye to my one. Goodbye, Rosalina. Adios, mis amigos. Jesus y Maria. You won't have a name. All they will call you will be deported.